Also, I'd like to thank you for having me here today. It's always a great blessing to be able to learn and grow and practice and experience with congregations who are willing to have us baby ministers come speak at their churches. I'm a DRE, so sometimes I do minister to babies, but I mean more that, you know, I'm a growing minister. Both ways it kind of works. And also, thank you to Roger, who's been a great friend and a great mentor and a great listener at times. I just really appreciate his presence. The last time I was here was actually your installation, almost 2 years ago, I think, when I had the opportunity to help out with some of the singing. So the original title of this sermon was Patience, Practice, and Sabbath Rest. However, after some contemplation, a more accurate title would probably be Stumbling Toward Something. Struggles and lessons from a year of attempted spiritual practice. To begin today, I looked up a definition of the term spiritual practice. A spiritual practice, or spiritual discipline, is the regular or full-time performance of actions and activities undertaken for the purpose of cultivating spiritual development. A common metaphor used in the spiritual traditions of the world's great religions is that of walking a path. Therefore, a spiritual practice moves a person along a path toward a goal. The goal is variously referred to as salvation, liberation, or union, and in parentheses it says, with God. A person who walks such a path is sometimes referred to as a wayfarer or pilgrim. Now, this definition is from Wikipedia, to be honest. Not always the most reliable source, I admit, but I do value the wisdom found in community. And in this case, it seems like a fairly solid definition. What strikes me about this definition is the idea of a path that is being traveled toward something. Salvation, liberation, union, something. And those of us on this path are wayfarers or pilgrims, traveling toward that something, goal in mind, making progress, step by step, day by day of practice. So from my revised sermon title, Stumbling Toward Something, Struggles and Lessons from a Year of Attempted Spiritual Practice, you can probably guess that I am not the most experienced spiritual practicer. As a fairly solid humanist, spiritual practice never scared me, but I was more confused about how to practice without the container of a more traditional faith, such as Buddhism, Judaism, or Christianity. I may have tried to avoid practice altogether, if not for Reverend Jennifer Brooks, a wise and grounded UU minister. The congregation I was formerly part of in Kansas City hired her as an interim, and she gracefully facilitated us through one of our most contentious periods. I had just begun seminary, and I was already exhausted amongst all my obligations, and I had asked Jennifer how she stayed so graceful and so grounded. She replied, "You need a deep, sustaining spiritual practice." So last fall, I became one of 24 students, or perhaps wayfarers, exploring different practices. Each week, we would experience new depths and contemplations, or perhaps find that a particular practice didn't work in context for ourselves. But from week one, I found one of the hardest challenges for myself wasn't related to the spiritual part of the concept, but to the practice. And in that challenge came one of the greatest lessons, the importance of practicing grace. So in this class, many of us struggled with the familiar trials of many of our too busy lives, focus on money, family, career, school, taking care of our parents, taking care of children, and so on, and so on, and so on. A mix of the joys and sorrows that fill our everyday life. And then, of course, our professor wanted us to add new practices weekly into our already bloated experience. While everyone in the class practiced with various levels of success, we communicated with our professor and each other about what we experienced. And our professor was never judgmental about what we had or had not done. Instead, she showed care and kindness, regardless of whether or not we had completed the very deep, very contemplative assignments. In that way, she modeled grace for us, and in that way, I began to find the need to practice giving that grace to myself, accepting personal imperfections, or perhaps accepting my human existence in all that it is, flawed and lovely, and moving forward, doing my best to avoid judgment when possible. And accepting that some weeks I was not successful. But in our professor's care, we were often reminded that there are abundant chances to try again. She reminded me of how my friend Florence, who is a Soto Zen priest, talks about certain aspects of existence in Buddhist thinking. That every moment, everything changes. Everything shifts. It is not like it was the moment before. And every moment, we have the opportunity to begin again, to try again in new ways. So if we have not been perfect in our practice, there is no need for judgment, because we can begin again at any time. If I have stopped practicing, there are a multitude of moments in which I could start again, and we can extend this grace beyond spiritual practice, of course. There is always an opportunity to refresh, renew, and begin again, regardless of the road which we are traveling. Now, from this point in the class, lessons on grace seem to be abundant. We are asked to consider in what ways we were on our own side, how we are a good friend to ourselves. We were reminded that any small changes matter because it takes a lot of effort to make a small, consistent change. We should encourage ourselves and love ourselves in times of growth. This was also the first step in loving kindness meditation. Some of you may be familiar with this practice. Our earlier hymn, "May I Be Filled with Loving Kindness," is an adaptation of this form of meditation. And I'd like to ask you to do a little mini practice with me right now, using the words in the hymnal. So I'd ask you to, if you would like to read along, you may get out your hymnal and turn back to page 1031. If you would rather not read along and just listen, feel free to leave your hymnal at your side. And find a comfortable place, position for your body. This is one way of doing this meditation, one set of words, but by no means the only way. So we're going to focus these words as I say them, and if you would like to join me as you say them, we're going to focus them towards different people as we move forward. So this first time, we're going to say these words, and I would like you to focus them inward towards yourself. Towards yourself. May I be filled with loving kindness. May I be well. May I be filled with loving kindness. May I be well. May I be peaceful and at ease. May I be whole. Excellent. Next. I would like you to picture somebody whom you love, for whom you care deeply. And we will use the word you, and we will focus it toward them. May you be filled with loving kindness. May you be well. May you be filled with loving kindness. May you be well. May you be peaceful and at ease. May you be whole. Next, using the word you again, picture someone whom you feel neutral or indifferent about. Perhaps somebody you've only seen but never met. Bring that person into your mind and your soul. May you be filled with loving kindness. May you be well. May you be filled with loving kindness. May you be well. May you be peaceful and at ease. May you be whole. Next, picture someone who is difficult or who you find challenging. For many people, this was the hardest part of the meditation. It may be for you, it may not. But it can be difficult to wish love towards those whom have hurt us or those we are angry at. And wishing them peace and ease, love and kindness, does not mean that we accept what they have done necessarily or agree with the ways in which we have been hurt. It may just mean letting go of a bit of resentment or even just affirming humanity. So bring the person into your mind and soul whom is difficult or challenging. May you be filled with loving kindness. May you be well. May you be filled with loving kindness. May you be well. May you be peaceful and at ease. May you be whole. Finally, we will focus on all living things and bless them, using the word we, on all living things, as broad as your mind and soul can take in. May we be filled with loving kindness. May we be well. May we be filled with loving kindness. May we be well. May we be peaceful and at ease. May we be well. The loving kindness meditation led to a second major lesson I found in practice this year. Connection. The loving kindness meditation starts with ourselves, because if we can't give love to ourselves, it is hard to truly give it to others. But from there, we reach further and further from ourselves, spreading love and grace where it is easy, and challenging ourselves to spread it even when it is difficult. Connecting ourselves to other living beings through a bond of transmitted kindness and positivity. As a UU, I believe wisdom is found in many places and within many people. Therefore, I strive to stay positively connected to the people in the world around me. For that is where I find spirit. That is where I find divinity. Within you, and you, and you, and me, and the multitudes of people who are not within this space. Grace and connection. Two powerful lessons. The most potent practice from our course, and the one I still wrestle with most, is taking a day of rest, or a Sabbath. 1 week in our course, each practice began with, take a day or part of a day. For instance, it would say, take a day or part of a day and sit with yourself. Be with yourself. Sound like a fantastic idea. Take a day or part of a day and choose one device which you will not use. Yeah, I did laugh out loud when I read those assignments. I mean, how am I going to accomplish this practice with so much to do? Everything I have the opportunity to do, I love, but there is no time for rest. And put down an electronic device. I mean, I'm preaching from my iPad right now, so. It's a little challenging. So I did the best I could at the time. I took very short breaks, as expected. Our professor was very caring and nudged me to do more. I preached a sermon on the need for time, for rest, for the need to stop and breathe. But I did not listen to my own sermon. And a couple of months later, I was exhausted, depleted. Reverend Jennifer Brooks, again, talks about filling our reservoir of serenity. taking time to rest and do the things which help us to find a peaceful center. Because we will need that serenity in our day-to-day lives to revitalize ourselves and the world around us. When I looked at my pool of serenity at that moment, I knew I was experiencing a drought. So it was time to rest, to give the body and the mind some grace, to replenish the pool, to set aside all of my beloved work for a day. And I say beloved work with complete sincerity because I love being a DRE, working with the congregation I work with and the children I work with. And I love learning and growing around ideas of faith. I set it all aside. And it was amazing. It was amazing. And the next day, my pool had been filled a little bit. And I was ready to take on life with renewed vigor. And something we all need. No, it's something we all deserve. Something we all deserve. Grace at times, but especially when our pool has run dry. And there was a learning I had not expected to come from resting. As I continued to try and take that day of rest every week, I sat with this quote from James Woodward about the Sabbath. In a world of brightness and portability and instantaneous intimacy, the Sabbath prefers natural to artificial light. If we want to travel, it would make us walk, though not too far. If we long for social interaction, it would have us meet our fellow man and woman and person face to face. If we wish to bend the world to our will, it would insist that we forego the vast majority of the devices that extend our reach and multiply our efficacy. We would be deprived of money and, to a certain degree, of the labor of others. Woodward's words remind that Sabbath is not just relaxation, but also connection. This is the time to dig into the earth and feel the land, to understand how the people and the world around us support our existence, to truly acknowledge our interaction in our relationships with every person we meet, from our most beloved to the person who picked the vegetables we may eat for lunch, from the people whom we are most frustrated with to victims of bombings we may have never met. Through our actions, even just through our humanity, we are all connected. A depth comes from that feeling of oneness with all, sometimes joy, sometimes sorrow, always connection, realizing that everything fits together. And by being in this life more deeply and respectfully with all parts of it, loving more, learning more, being moved by more, we find a way through into community, care, and harmony. So I am now at the end of a year of attempted spiritual practice. And I will admit that my pool is once again depleted. I may need to give myself that sermon again. I am worn out, and I am grateful. For had this been last year, I might have frustration at my lack of learning. For what I now know, our pools will be empty sometimes. That is simply a truth. We will try to keep them full, and we will not always be successful. And we will begin again, hopefully with grace for ourselves, because we deserve that grace. Hopefully, we can all take some time for rest and practice and contemplation, even this week, giving ourselves love. And when our pool is replenished, we will be more ready to take on a larger journey of giving grace to the world. Those we see and those we do not, those we love and those whom are challenging. Because through that grace, hopefully, we wayfarers will eventually arrive at a world where peace and love abound. Blessed be.